Come, let me illustrate the opposite too. That even if you bring down a highly regarded person to a lower status, you won't plunge him into despair and sorrow. And if you want, let's use the same example, and imagine taking the governor from his throne and depriving him of his dignity. I say that he won't distress himself over this if he recalls the things I've spoken of, for he won't tally the things he's lost, but what he still has, the prestige from his position. But if you take away that as well, he will think of those in private positions who have never held such power, and his wealth will comfort him. And if you also exile him from his wealth, he will look to those who have a modest fortune. And if you should deprive him of even moderate wealth and permit him only necessary food, he can contemplate on those who don't even have that, who wrestle with constant hunger and live in prison. And even if you put him in that prison, when he thinks of those with incurable illnesses and unending pain, he will realize he is far better off. Just as the scavenger mentioned earlier won't gain any happiness even if made a king, this man won't vex himself if he becomes a prisoner. So it's not wealth that's the root of joy or poverty of sadness, but our own judgment, the fact that our mind's eyes are not clear, nor do they stand firm anywhere, but flutter without boundaries. Just as healthy bodies, even when nourished with just bread, are in a good and vibrant condition, while unhealthy ones become weaker, even with a plentiful and varied diet, the same applies to our souls. The weak-spirited cannot find happiness even in a crown and unimaginable honors, but the resilient, even in chains, deprivation, and poverty, will cherish pure pleasure.